And let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to ask if you would get me, if somebody would grab me a bottle of water, please. I'm getting kind of dry and parched here. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Thank you. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the Word of God that we've just read. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help me as we study the Word of God, that we could just take some time and learn and see something here that would challenge our hearts. Lord, draw us nearer to thee. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, mercy. I don't know why I'm getting so parched today, but you ever had one of those days where you just got thirsty and you just keep wanting water? All right. Well, that's kind of the way I am today. But anyway, there's an old hymn or old song. I think it was written by some group called the McCameys, but it's called "That God Saves Old Sinners." It's kind of interesting the way it goes. It's an interesting thing. There's some things about it that are true, and some things about it that are, you, if you think about it, you'd say that they kind of missed the mark in understanding what is there. But it has a truth to it. It goes like this: the drunk on the street, the rich in palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. And I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he could save an old sinner like me. Was I so bad that I needed forgiveness? Was I so wrong I had to be redeemed? Well, I wasn't a thief, yet I lived in sin's prison. So I was wrong as a sinner could be. So I am so glad that God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming, O sinners, is that he could save an old sinner like me. If you think about that, wouldn't it be an amazing thing for us to just realize that we are indeed sinners that needed to be saved? Sometimes I think we miss that. You look at everything that the Apostle Paul has done. Look at the number of the books of the Bible that the Holy Spirit came and inspired him to write. We look at our New Testament and we look at, you know, some people have called him the great theologian of the church because much of our theology, the New Testament theology that we have, comes directly through him. The Holy Spirit gives it to us. The amplifying, explaining of what Jesus told us and the Old Testament, how it relates to the New and all that. A lot of that we have because God used him. He was one of those holy men of God who spake as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. We look at the number of the churches that he started. Everywhere he went, he started a church. God was with him. We send out missionaries today who oftentimes labor for years on a mission field and start churches. And sometimes they, like we were blessed to hear from Brother Holmes from the time that they've been there, that 47 churches in those many years that they've been on the field in Nigeria, 47 churches were started during that time. Praise the Lord. But some people are on the field an entire ministry, an entire lifetime, and start one church. And yet every place that the Apostle Paul went, he started a church. God used him for people to get saved. Think of the thousands, and maybe even now, and because of his efforts, the millions that have been saved. I got saved because somebody quoted me a Bible verse that God used the Apostle Paul to put down. So I myself, and probably every one of us, we are here today and we call Christ our Savior because of what this man did for God and what God did through him. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing to think about that. He even started churches when he was in prison. And during the time he was in prison, we have the letters that were inspired of God that have been recorded to us, these epistles that are to different people and to different churches, right? But that doesn't mean this is all he ever wrote. He talked about all the things that he had to deal with, and one of the things that he had to deal with was the care of all the churches. All the churches that he started, he cared about them. So you know good and well that he didn't just write these letters, he wrote letters to others as well. He took care of those people. He prayed for them. He labored where there were problems. He tried to clear them up. That's one of the reasons why a lot of these letters were inspired of God, is because the Apostle Paul was dealing with errors in the church, in the local church, in Corinth, in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Colossae, in Laodicea. In fact, the Bible talks about Paul receiving letters from these churches? You know he answered them. He cared. He suffered. Man, did he suffer for the cause. From the day that he trusted Christ as his Savior, God sent Ananias to share the gospel with him and to baptize him and to lay hands on him so he could receive his sight. And Ananias didn't want to go because he knew what kind of man Paul was. He knew that Paul was the one that was persecuting the church. He was afraid of him. He had a reputation. And God said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And he suffered, didn't he? Beaten with rods 3 times. Shipwrecked 3 times, persecuted, perils. I mean, you go back and you look at all the things that happened to him. And we look at this man and we say, what a man. But you know what? He says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry." He counted me faithful. God made the decision. This is going to be a faithful man. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, God counted me faithful. He's not saying I was faithful. He says God said he's going to be faithful, and God made him faithful. And he talks about the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I am the chief of sinners. In the Sunday school morning, I challenged you to look at sin for what it is and to look at what Christ did for what it truly is, and that this ought to bring to us joy. And we talk about that we ought to see what Christ did and how he died, and every sin that we've ever committed, every lie we've ever uttered, everything that we've ever done. Is a step off into an abyss of death. The wages of sin is death. And I challenge you to see that properly and see sin for what it is and see the sacrifice of Christ for our sins for what it is and how he rescued us, not just once, but literally again and again and again. Though he died once, he rescues us again and again and again and again. I can go back in my life and I can say there are thousands of sins that make me worthy to die and go to hell. And yet Jesus paid for every one of them. And here we have a man who most of us would say, I'm not even worthy to be in the same room with this man. If the Apostle Paul were to walk into the place today, I would have to say, man, I need to sit down and shut up. Listen. I could look at my thousands of sins, but look at this man. But he looked at himself and he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. Can you see this man who God did so greatly? And yet when he looks at himself, he sees nothing worth anything. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He looked at himself and said, I'm no good. He said, there's nothing in me that's worthwhile. He said, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He talked about when people died and they were put to death, he gave his voice against them. If we go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's kind of an amazing thing when you look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to share this with you. I want you to think about it today. What is my goal today? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to just look at yourself and look at Jesus and see the contrast and see why we ought to be grateful. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 1, he says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, you heard it, but you didn't really believe it, and you go around and you have it up in your head. You know that it's true, but you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. He says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried again, buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James and then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, I'm not meet to be an apostle. It's an amazing thing. If you go to the beginning of every letter, 1 Corinthians, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle. The book of Romans, he says this, Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. We go to 2 Corinthians, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We go to the book of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We go to the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. We go to the book of Philippians. And he calls himself a servant, not an apostle. I almost feel like he was relieved that the Holy Spirit didn't ask him to say apostle there. Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. 1 Thessalonians, he again doesn't say that, but thankfully, like I said, can you imagine the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man who said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet. I'm not fit. It's not suitable for me to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. I don't deserve to be called what I am. I don't deserve that office. I don't deserve that title. I don't deserve it. Can you imagine a man that felt like that and the Holy Spirit says, you put down what I say you are? But he felt and says that he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he was the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He looked at himself and he understood that. Do you look at yourself that way? Do you see yourself as undeserving of what God's given you? Do you honestly see yourself that way? It's so much easier to be appreciative when we understand that we don't deserve what God's given. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's a faithful saying. That means He came into the world to save me. He came into the world to save Brother Donnie, Brother Curtis, Sister Brenda, Sister Denise. Amen. Sister Pat, Brother Jeremy, He came into the world to save you. He came into the world to save you. But the Apostle Paul said, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve it. If anybody deserves to go to hell, it's me. I don't deserve it. I'm not meet to be called an apostle. People that understand that, if you go to the book of Philippians, go back to the book of Philippians chapter 3, and he tells us more about this. He says this. He said, in verse 3, he said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh. I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. As far as he thought, he said, I was doing everything right, even though I was having people killed. My religion would allow me to have people murdered for just believing differently than I do. My belief and my dead, and as far as I could say, as far as I understood the law, I was doing everything right. I was good. But he wasn't good, was he? He said, yea. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, I don't deserve anything. Jacob, after he lived his life, and now he's facing his brother Esau, and he's calling out to God. And he says that, he said, if you go to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10, it's kind of amazing. Jacob, after all that time of plotting and scheming, his name was a supplanter. But in Genesis chapter 32, as he's facing Esau, and he's dealing with these things. He's there in verse 9. He says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He comes to God and he says, he left with a stolen birthright. He left with a stolen blessing. Now he comes back and he's now having to face the music and face his brother. And he realizes, he says, I'm not worthy of the least of all mercies, and I'm not worthy of the truth which you show me. Do you realize, beloved, that we're not worthy to have this Bible? Do you not realize that we're not worthy to have God's mercy day by day? The Bible says, thy mercies are new every morning. And we're not worthy of them. So what is my point in all of this? What is my point in pointing this out? The whole point of this pointing this out is not to sit there and make you feel bad about yourself. If you don't feel bad about yourself, that's because you don't see yourself. If you're here and you think I'm perfect and I've got everything together and it's all everybody else's problems and I don't have any and I'm all 100% right with God and everything's good with me and I don't have anything to ever be ashamed of and I'm not like everybody else, will you just be smug and happy in your self-righteousness? But if you see yourself as you truly are, then you ought to see Jesus for what he's done. You see, it's only the person who doesn't believe God and doesn't believe the promise of God that looks at their sin and say, oh, I'm such a terrible, wicked person. There's no hope for me and there's nothing and God doesn't love me and God doesn't care for me and God won't save me and God won't deliver me and God won't do this and God won't do that. It's only that person. But the person who sees their sin for what it is and sees what Jesus did for it, they're the ones that say what the Apostle Paul says. If we go back to our text, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. God showed mercy to me and he had a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. He didn't just save me. He didn't just save me to keep me out of hell. He saved me to turn me into something that was worthwhile. No wonder he said, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. I know I had a bunch of evers in there, but God deserves them all. Amen. God deserves every one of them because of what he's done. Our Savior Jesus Christ deserves all the glory and honor that we can lay at his feet. Because of what he's done. But so often we don't see it. Because, like we talked about this morning, we get the world's attitude towards sin. We get this idea, well, we see the inevitability of sin and we see it all around us, so we grow hardened to it. And we don't just grow hardened to the sin, but we grow hardened to what God did to remedy our sin. Is that you today? Run through life grumbling and complaining because you can't find any good in the world. You can't even look up to heaven and rejoice in your salvation. Maybe you're here today and you think that somehow God can't forgive you and God can't save you. I remind you that this man had a lot of blood on his hands when he came to Jesus. He was a wicked man who thought he was righteous. And his wickedness took the point of actually having people killed and murdered simply because they didn't believe what he believed. That's how wicked he was. A murderer, a blasphemer. And yet he's rejoicing. He looks at himself, he sees nothing but the chief of sinners. He looks at Jesus and sees the answer. He sees the mercy of God. And he's rejoicing. Why aren't we like that? Why aren't we rejoicing in the mercy of God? Why don't we run to our Savior? Why don't we just give Him all the glory that He deserves? Why don't we just humble ourselves and realize that God not only did He didn't just save us so that we wouldn't die and go to hell, but He had more. He had things planned for us. He has a purpose. He has a plan that you can do things that will make a difference for all eternity. Not just in your life, but the life of the others around you. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing to say, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that He counted me faithful. Putting me in the ministry. He gave me a job to do. He made me a minister. By the way, we're all supposed to be ministers. People say to me, are you a minister? We're all ministers. Isn't it amazing how we take things that are in the Bible and it's like saints, right? Mankind takes the idea of saint, and the idea of saint is somebody who's saved, somebody who's trusted Christ. That's the biblical definition, right? And we put that term saint way up there because it means a sanctified one, and we put it off for somebody else, like the Apostle Paul. He's a saint. That's why they call him Saint Paul. Right? But Jesus does not save people and make them ordinary. He saves people and makes them saints and makes them ministers. Well, are you a minister? Oh, you mean a preacher, right? Huh? No, that's not the biblical definition of minister. Preaching the gospel is just one way of being a minister. Christ Jesus counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I obtained mercy so that Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. I bet there were a lot of people who said, man, that Apostle Paul, he dies, he's going to go straight to hell. That man deserves to die. Look at the people he's had put to death. Look at the people he's put in prison. Look at the people he's done these wicked things to. Look at what he was when he was there when Stephen was being stoned to death for doing nothing but talking about how Jesus saved him and preaching from the Old Testament and telling them what Moses said and everything like that. Look at what they did when they went to stone him. Apostle Paul, he said, "Hey," he said, "give me your coats. I'll hold your coats while you do it. Now, give me your coat. I want to make sure you can swing that arm hard when you throw that stone at that man. Hit him as hard as you can. Kill him." The Bible says Saul was consenting at his death. He deserves to die. I want him dead. I'll hold your coat. That's the Apostle Paul. That's the man whom God changed. That's the man who could never see himself of anything but the chief of sinners. But he didn't just see himself as the chief of sinners. He also saw him as the recipient of God's mercy and grace, and that God had a plan and a purpose. And if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I will tell you this, that God not only wants to save your soul from hell, but He has a plan and a purpose for you. And all you need to do to find that is to simply trust Him. First of all, start by trusting Him as your Savior. Put your faith and trust in Him. Realize He's your only hope of going to heaven, your only hope of having forgiveness of sins. And call on Him. And if you've trusted Christ your Savior, I want you to understand that God saved you and He has a plan, a purpose for you. And it's found by trusting Him. Yep, you can look at yourself and you can see everything that you are. And sometimes that holds us back, doesn't it? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. That's why we come not by in our name, but in Jesus' name. That's why we come not by our righteousness, but by His blood into the holy place. But you know what? Though Paul was the chiefest of sinners, he wasn't the same man after he got saved as he was before he got saved, was he? He changed, didn't he? God changed him. God counted him faithful, put him in the ministry, and God used him as a pattern to show forth all long suffering to a pattern which them should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He said, God's going to use me to show what great things He can do with somebody. No wonder He said, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we pray that You would work in every heart. You know the needs of every person here. You know how we see ourselves. Father, I just simply ask that whoever is here, whether they're saved or lost, whatever the background they come from, whether it's a fine, good background or a broken home, godless home like I came from, whatever it may be, Lord, that they would see themselves as they are. And Lord, if there's one that's lost, that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him and be saved. And Lord, I pray that each one here would see what Jesus has done and who He is and see that His plan and purpose is sure and that He has a plan and a purpose. And maybe, Lord, we've run from that plan or purpose. Or maybe we've allowed sin to interrupt what we know we should be doing. maybe because of backsliding, we've gotten to a point of saying that my chance to do something for God is past, and all of that is a lie. Help us to just simply trust you now, to trust in our Savior, to trust what He did, to believe that He has a plan and purpose, and just yield ourselves and say yes. Father, there are often times we need to see ourselves as we truly are, just like the day we got saved. But Lord, whenever we look and see ourselves as we are, I just pray we'd look and see Jesus as He is. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.